Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi there, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It is Thursday, November 5th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. I mean, if I sound a little bit out of breath today, I just had a Wii experience. I don't know how many of you are into this Wii game, but it was the first time that I ever experienced it, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing. It's a new video game called Just Dance, so it's coming out in November, so keep a look on it. Keep a lookout for it. You'll love it. And we're going to have just as much fun today with my very special guest, Ben Hill. And if you're wanting to talk to Ben, have a question for Ben or myself, we'd love to hear from you. So please call in and participate live on air by dialing 347-857-2710. We are here until 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Again, that number to call in is 347-857-2710. So, you know, so much talk and so much fun to squeeze into 30 minutes that our new segment, Serious Reservations, hasn't been able to shine this week. So I promise you I will not disappoint our listeners, because Serious Reservation is a huge hit and has quite a following, so stay tuned to hear my latest restaurant news a little bit later in the show. So now to the moment we've all been waiting for, Mr. Ben Hill. In the summer, this summer actually, 2010, the Hollywood Fringe launches a Fringe Festival for Southern California, which is an 11-day event that premieres June 17th through June 27th, uniting local, national, and international artists who will share their works in all fields, such as theater, dance, music, comedy, and much, much more. And we are fortunate to have Ben Hill on the show today, who is the executive director of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. But before I introduce you, let me just give you a little info about Ben. Ben has over 15 years of experience in the arts, and recent producing credits include Art Bash at the A&D Museum in Los Angeles. He founded and produced the Hatchery Festival in Washington, D.C., which is a showcase of new plays from emerging playwrights. And Ben is also the founder and CEO of Revolutions Workshop, which is a web development firm dedicated to bridging the gap between the internet and the art. Wow, that sounds so fabulous, and Ben is a very busy guy. So I'm sure the list of credentials goes on and on and on, but I don't want to waste another minute, so let's give a warm Fringe welcome to Ben Hill. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. My pleasure. We finally get to connect. I love this.
Absolutely. You might be a little exhausted from the Wii, but I've been talking on the phone all day about Fringe, so my voice is hanging on by a thread, so I'll try to make it through this interview in good tones.
Oh, okay. So you're hanging on by a fringe, right?
Hanging on by a fringe, that's right.
Are you familiar with the Wii?
Oh, I'm familiar with the Wii, indeed. I remember when they first released the Wii, and everyone was like, what's the why? But yeah, absolutely. I like playing games and getting a little exercise on the side.
It is amazing. It's a new dance. It's a new dance video. It's called Just Dance. And it's actually, I don't think you'd ever need to go to the gym again or do any other form of exercise. I was completely exhausted, and I like to take pride in myself that I exercise on a regular basis, but I was huffing and puffing with Madonna and Cyndi Lauper.
You'll never get that out of an Xbox. I mean, that is a commercial for Nintendo right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. So it sounds like you've been busy with the Fringe. So I would love for you to tell our listeners exactly what the Fringe is all about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's this concept out there called open source programming, and you've probably heard about open source as it relates to software and Linux and all this news that's made all the major magazines and media and whatnot. What the Hollywood Fringe is an open source arts festival. And so we're doing it on, I guess, a build it and they will come and they will fill it sort of model. So we set up all of the environment necessary for the Fringe, and that includes partnering with venues all over the Hollywood neighborhood. That includes providing visibility events and outdoor events for all of the artists and participants that want to come. And we basically let them fill up Hollywood with their own programming, with their own art, to sort of create the nature of the festival. And this really goes to the core of what the festival is, that it's not a few folks sitting in a room deciding which new playwright they want to show off or which new band they want to show off. We don't do any of that. We don't select who's going to be in the fringe and who's not going to be in the fringe. We leave that to the participants themselves. We leave that to the venue partners participating in the fringe. And so the artists come, they fill up the spaces, all the ones that we've prearranged, and then they define what the fringe is. It's really a grassroots, community-based festival, and that's where it should be defined, basically from the bottom as opposed to from the top. We're not going to say this is what the festival is going to be. We're going to create the environment for a festival, and then the participants, the artists, the venues are all going to determine what the festival will actually be. And so I'm just as excited as I'm sure you are once June 17th rolls around to see what are we talking about here. Like, what are these people going to bring? What sort of game are these people going to bring?
Yes, it does. What is actually the history of the Fringe Festival?
The whole movement in itself, right. It started, the story of Fringe starts in 1947 in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is, for those of your listeners who have never been there, it's just an amazingly, breathtakingly beautiful city. In 1947, obviously it was shortly after the World War II, that there was a feeling that there needed to be some healing through art and the celebration of art. So the powers that be in Edinburgh started what is still called the Edinburgh International Festival, or EIF, which is a curated festival, meaning that there is a select group of people who are selecting who's going to be in that festival. And this is great if you were selected to be in the Edinburgh International Festival. Like, that's good for you. You got to show your stuff. But that year, there were 8 theatrical companies. I believe 6 were from Scotland and 2 were from England, but I might be wrong, showed up on the fringes of the festival and said, well, we weren't invited. We're just going to put on our show anyway along the fringes of the Edinburgh International Festival. And so what started in 1947 as 8 theatrical troupes grew and grew and grew, and all of these, you know, festival crashers, I guess you could call them, kept showing up in Edinburgh. And it was only about, I think it was like 12 or 15 years later, that they actually created a society called the Edinburgh Fringe Society, whose festival fringe society, whose responsibility it was to basically manage the communication and the organization, provide a central box office for the quote-unquote fringe festival, etc. And over time, the festival fringe outpaced in size and scope and attendance the Edinburgh International Festival. And today, the Edinburgh Festival Fringe is the largest arts festival on the planet. And last year sold 1.8 million tickets, contributed $100 million to the local economy in Edinburgh. And if you've never been, it is breathtaking. You go and there is stuff happening everywhere, inside, outside. Every place that could conceivably be used for an arts venue is used. So you have this really fascinating array of the whole breadth of quality, from fantastic to, whoa, I can't believe I just saw that. But it's all risky and daring and edgy, and you never know what you're going to get when you walk into a venue. I mean, it's really a wonderful, fantastic celebration and a wonderful community.
You sound so impassioned when you talk about it, and I guess from your background, the arts is important to you, and how, unfortunately, in today's academic arena, the young people don't have as much, they're not in touch with the arts as they once were. I remember when I was in elementary school, we had music and arts and crafts, and that's very much not a part of the curriculum here in Los Angeles at times, because it's too expensive.
It's interesting. I was just watching Mr. Holland's Opus, and I don't know if you've seen that movie with Richard Dreyfuss, but it really touches on that. It's like, what's the first thing to go on the chopping block in our nation's educational system? Well, it's the arts, because they need their math, and they need their phys ed, and God knows they need their football team. But, you know, it comes to a point when the arts are the first on the chopping block. I mean, which is obviously a national tragedy. You also need to sort of ask yourself, why don't the quote-unquote youth of America, why aren't they attracted to the arts today. And we've made some guesses as to why. And one of the reasons maybe is because the arts are just too expensive. And that's one thing we're tackling. Fringe festivals in general, although we don't set prices, we allow the artists to set their own prices, but in general, fringe price tickets are lower than your average, like, opera or traditional theater prices. So it removes that barrier between the young patron and the arts. A second is obviously relevance. Why go to see a show, to see a play, or to see a dance performance? It doesn't have any relevance to you. Well, by our hope is by giving artists an opportunity and sort of a freedom to fail environment, that they will start doing performances, exhibitions, events that are more edgy, that are more relevant to today's youth. But despite all the talk about youth, I assume that all those qualifications, low ticket prices, hard hitting, edgy performances, would attract an audience way beyond people in the 25 and under set. Although we certainly hope to bring in more and more youth into sort of the world of arts culture, so that we can start generating sort of new aesthetics for tomorrow to become more and more relevant, to keep that audience and to keep the arts thriving.
True. I mean, it's unfortunate that the older population has more time and more income to support it, but the younger people are the next generation to keep it moving forward. So you have to find a way to bring them both in, and it's a way of expression. And I would think young people would want that freedom to be able to say, oh, I can play whatever, an instrument. I can play two instruments simultaneously and do something, but it's edgy and interesting. I'm going to do that.
Absolutely. You know, and build your own community. You know, that one of the big words that we've used from the beginning of this is community, community, community. What we have in the art scene right now in Los Angeles, from our perspective, is we've got a lot of companies doing some fantastic work, but their audiences are pretty much their audiences, and there isn't that much of a feeling of community across all art mediums, across all art companies. And if there's anything that makes the arts successful, at least from a box office perspective, it's not like movies where you have massive posters saying to go there, and movies, magazines dedicated to it. In the case of the arts, there are these communities that go support a given theater company or a given dance company. One of our missions for the Fringe Festival is to start combining those communities, so that rather than just following theater group A, they go to the Fringe, they see theater group A's performance, but then they see, oh, right next door, just down the road, there's an interesting dance performance going on. Oh, like right after that, there's this fantastic new play. Oh, and I look across the road, and there's an art exhibition that's also participating in the Fringe. Maybe I'll check that out. So, and as these patrons that were originally just based in the community of their the original show that they went to, now they're being exposed to new artistic outlets, to new companies, to new genres, the whole thing. And their sort of understanding and appreciation of the art starts to expand, as does their desire to go support all these different companies in non-fringe seasons. Thus, you know, theoretically, communities grow and merge, and you start having real scenes. You start seeing the same people, and that's sort of addictive, and you want to keep going and going and going and continue to support the art. So it's about getting them in the door the first time to sort of give them that feeling. It's like a drug experience, that feeling of sort of elation and enrichment that hopefully will continue after the Fringe closes the first year.
Well, you know, speaking about this drug elation, the feelings you have for the arts and you're expressing. We have a caller, so let's check who our caller is and see if they have a question for you. And
marvelous.
Let's talk to our listeners. Hello, caller 111. You're on the line with Lauren and Bell.
Hello, Lauren and Bell.
Oh, hello. And Ben,
you?
I'm sorry.
I mean,
you're on the line with Ben. Would
Ben
you
Hill.
Like... Ben and Hill, yeah. Benny Hill, there you go. I was going to say, are you any relation to Benny Hill?
No real relation, but I have been called Bill my whole life out of, I don't know, some sort of weird combination of syllables. But so there you go. I respond to Bill just as soon as I respond to Ben.
Okay. Well, caller,
dyslexia.
Do you have a question for Ben?
How many weeks is the Fringe going on?
It's officially 2 weeks. It's from June 17th to June 27th. The first night's probably we're going to be throwing a big party to kick everything off, and the programming will officially begin on June 18th. So it's really 2 weeks this June, and we're planning the same for 2011.
And what area are the theaters that you're using in the same area, like the Santa Monica group of theaters, or are you spread out over the city?
Excellent question. For our first year, we have decided that the best thing that we can do for the festival is to keep it as close as the festival as compact as possible. So for the first year, it's all going to be in the area commonly referred to as Central Hollywood. So our specific borders, for those familiar with the geography of the area, are Franklin to the north, Melrose to the south, La Brea to the west, and Gower to the east.
How many theaters does that encompass, Ben?
Total? I mean, that's actually the nice thing about Fringes is it doesn't necessarily need to be a traditional space. It can be a non-traditional space or a found space or an outdoor space or a restaurant or a bar, the whole thing. So far, when we launch registrations in the next couple weeks, we'll have 10 venues to begin with, and they're traditional theatrical venues that can be used by almost all mediums of art, ready to take applications from participants interested in staging shows, exhibitions, events in their space. Now, over time, we absolutely leave open to the possibility of expanding into other neighborhoods. Obviously, I mean, I just saw a map of just theater companies, like a Google Map mashup thing of just theater companies in Los Angeles. And anyone who says that Los Angeles is not an arts town should take a look at this map, because there are condensed, in this case, theater companies all through. Obviously, we have North Hollywood, downtown, Santa Monica, West Hollywood, on and on. So there's these fantastic places in the future that if it is a success, like we want it to be a success, that we will be able to expand elsewhere. Because, as I said, we're all about community. We don't want to exclude anybody. For the benefit of making the festival work the first year, we've decided to keep it all into that little world of Hollywood, mainly because there's so many theaters within walking distance. And part of the Fringe experience is going to see a show, looking in the guide, and that question's always on your mind is, what's next? What's next? What's next? Oh, look, there's a show in 15 minutes right across there. I'll walk there. There's a show in 20 minutes. That's about a five-minute walk, but I can make that five-minute walk and see a show there. So you spend your whole day bouncing from venue to venue to venue. And to make that successful the first year, we've arranged it so all the venues are in walking distance of one another.
Great. So where can people get more information as far as tickets and other information? Do you have a website you can...
We do. And keep your eye on that website. It's www.hollywoodfringe.org. So your listeners are going to go there and say, oh, this is a glorified blog. That is going to change within potentially hours, potentially days. We're going to have our fully-fledged Facebook-y type web application up that we've actually been developing for a couple years now. That's going to be the gateway for artists to create projects. So they can go in, they can create a project, absolutely no cost, no obligation, just to maybe brainstorm something. Maybe it'll just help them to put something on paper and then to send links to people to say, check out my project idea, see what you think. And if they choose to make the next step, they can go and look at all the venues that are currently taking applications and say, well, I want to do something at the Paul G. Gleason Theater. I want to do something at Second City or Iowa West or Theater of Note or Theater Asylum, et cetera, and actually be able to reach out and talk to these venue owners about doing their work in their space. And then, as well, if they happen to have a space, and that could be a bar within their friendly, a coffee shop, it could be an abandoned warehouse, it could be a studio, it could be a film venue, it could be anything, as long as they have legal rights to perform there, they can register and make that venue a Fringe venue. So it's really, there is this square area where they can, where all the Fringe will be happening, but within that square area, any place that is safe and that can support a theatrical or music or event or art exhibition, and they have legal rights to use, is fair game for a Fringe space.
That's good. Our lovely caller, I know that voice, and it's Zach, and I want to thank Zach for calling in. Did you have any other thoughts, Zach?
Do you help? Yes, sure. Do you help?
He has a plethora of questions.
I've got a questions. Do you help artists get their material into that legal space that you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Are you funded to do that, or is this your private funding?
We have, right now it's private funding, but don't get me wrong, we could use all the funding from any of the listening base here right now. We are looking for help. But we do have a team right now of very dedicated volunteers. Some of those volunteers are dedicated specifically to helping artists find venues. Now, obviously, this is the sort of the big keys to the kingdom as far as the Hollywood Fringe goes. And this is the same way the Edinburgh Fringe works and some of the largest festivals in the country besides, is that, yes, they need to find a space, make some sort of agreement with that space to participate in the Fringe. And we understand that a lot of our French artists there aren't used to these sort of tasks. So, yes, we will have people helping. And if anybody has any questions or needs any help right now, you can email support@hollywoodfringe.org, and then one of our participant support staff will get back to you and answer any questions you have and help you along with the process.
Are you going to do lunchtime, like half-hour vignettes?
Well, during the French or before the French.
Do you have something you want to do?
Thinking about it.
There you go.
I can tell you one thing that we are planning, which is because it's interesting. I've talked to hundreds of international Fringe going people saying, what do you want to see more of in Fringe world? When you go to a Fringe, what's lacking? And one of the major things that's lacking is an outlet for social interaction, for professional networking. So as such, every night of the Fringe, there's going to be some official place where everyone goes to drink, dance, cavort, et cetera, eat. And we're looking for partners to be these official places. And that could be lunch just as well as it could be dinner, drinks, and dance. Saying right now, if you want to eat, this place is providing discounts if you come with your artist ID badge or what comes with a fringe guide and you show your fringe guide that these particular people are looking to give you discounts and they're welcoming that fringe element. Sounds sort of sketchy when you say fringe element, doesn't it? That's sort of the fringe group to have fun at their institution. So we're absolutely looking for people and businesses and local businesses to help us in that respect.
And my instinct is to help the artists. You may also want to look into the lots of writers and performance agencies. That noontime thing, my experience is that they love.
Oh, that's a wonderful thought. That's a wonderful thought.
For that networking, but also to help the performers possibly get more work.
When we were in Edinburgh over the summer, meeting with the great people who run the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, we attended what they call the promoter breakfast, which was basically a place for participating artists at the Edinburgh Fringe to meet with potential promoters and festivals elsewhere, and et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be having these events, absolutely, sort of a meet and greet networking. Obviously one of the things that Los Angeles has going forward as far as attracting the international and the out of town, out of state element is the fact that the film industrial complex, the entertainment industrial complex is located in Los Angeles. So being able to connect these artists, these writers and dancers and actors and directors, producers, with people who might be interested in taking their work to the next level would be amazing for us. I mean, that's exactly what we want to do, is to give these folks new opportunities.
But, you know, especially in the Hollywood community, that's what the Hollywood resurgence is all about, and I think it's a great place for the Fringe to start because of what Hollywood is trying to do. They're trying to bring back Hollywood. And the theaters of yesteryear, like the Pantages and the Theaterlander organization, these people about theater management. Most artists are not experienced in the management of theater. How do you put on a show? What's involved in taking your project to a theater and whatnot? So it would be helpful to have a meet and greet, a cocktail hour where these artists or just people who want to attend the Fringe, who are hesitant to participate but are performers themselves, can go to a place and talk to people, a Q&A or something.
Oh, yes. And leading up to the Fringe, we're going to be producing a series of what we hope to be monthly mixers in various locations in Hollywood where people can do just that, is meet with the promoters of the Fringe Festival to the people who are on the other end of the email or the phone that have been supporting them, and to ask questions and to find how they can get involved. So yes, there will be events leading up to the festival itself where people will be able to network and ask questions and talk to the people who are going to be helping them make their Fringe experience positive.
So if there are vendors, like Zach was talking about, people that want to either artists or on the professional side, the producing side, want to get involved, they can just go on to the fringefestival.org website and contact you through there, right?
Absolutely. They can just send me an email directly at benhill@hollywoodfringe.org. It's B-E-N-H-I-L-L. Or support@hollywoodfringe.org will get to me eventually. But absolutely, like, all I do all day is talk to people who want to be involved in the Fringe and from the various different ways that you can be involved. So we've gone to all the community member meetings. We've gone to bid meetings and Chamber of Commerce meetings. We're trying to be as active in the community as humanly possible. So if community members want to reach out to us, they will definitely find a listening ear on the other side.
Now, I mentioned earlier in your little bio that you produced and founded the Hatchery Festival in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Was your experience with that festival, did that in turn want you to, I mean, what made you decide to take on having a Hollywood Fringe Festival?
Well, Hatchery was an amazing experience. Hatchery was focused, as the name might imply, it was specifically a theater festival, so it wasn't sort of an arts general type fringe festival. It was a theater festival. And we focused on the development of new plays. So our focus was the playwright and helping the playwright along the dramaturgical process, the process of workshopping their plays, and actually seeing it on its feet in front of an audience. Because I had a playwright friend once tell me that playwriting is one of the hardest things you can do, period, right now. It's an extraordinarily difficult thing to do. And it's even harder when you can't see those plays come to life in front of stage with actors and see how audience react to it. So that's what Hatchery Festival was about. But it was interesting because Hatchery Festival actually fell on the heels of the first Capital Fringe Festival, which is this wonderful festival put on in my hometown of Washington, D.C., that is a fringe festival that has all sorts of different arts, an uncurated festival, the whole thing. And what we saw through that fringe festival was a real sort of a renaissance in the arts in Washington, D.C. came out of it. So there was this inspiration of the fringe festival happening there, plus the success of the Hatchery Festival and just how gratifying being involved in a festival is to organize, to the producers, the participants, the whole thing. And then there was a desire, I suppose, I'm just sort of a, you might be able to already tell, I'm like an ADD-type personality that likes to focus.
Ben, you're just fashion. I don't want to call you Bill.
That's all right.
I don't know. You can call me Marie, you know, I'll take it back. But you know what? I don't want to interrupt you, but we are so out of time.
No problem.
This is such a fascinating subject, and I'm so excited, and it's so wonderful to hear your passion about the arts. It's something that is definitely needed in Hollywood, and I want to thank Zach for calling in.
Thanks for doing this, Lauren. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Zach. Listeners, everyone, once again, Ben Hill, the Executive Director of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Thank you, Ben, so much. You can contact Ben at benhill@hollywoodfringe.org or just log on to www.hollywoodfringe.org. And I want to get to our serious reservation segment, and I have two things. I know times are tough, people are not eating out very much anymore, but there are two restaurants in the Los Angeles area that I wanted to share with our listeners. For an inexpensive night out, there is a place in West Hollywood called AOC. And owners Susan Goyen and Carolyn Stein have $12 Mondays where you can get a flight of wine for $12 and corresponding apps for $8. Fabulous. A fabulous place to go with a friend and meet other people. And also a new place called Ava Restaurant from Chef Mark Gold, who is a former Joachim Splacal student. It's a fabulous restaurant. His lunches are incredible. For $19, yes, you heard me, $19. You can have a prefix lunch, a three-course prefix lunch. Mark Gold's Ava Restaurant is I don't have the address for you, but AOC is 8022 West Hollywood Boulevard in West Hollywood. And those are my thoughts for serious reservations. I want to thank all my listeners and my guest, Ben Hill. Please join me next week when I'll have Charlene Timms, the love interpreter. So long for now.